Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we're chatting with is Tammy Gagne, the Director of Social Services with the Salvation Army. Tammy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Colby.
So before we kind of get into this new gift y'all have just been given, Tammy, can you give me a rundown on who and what the Salvation Army is and what y'all do?
Absolutely. So we are a church, and we're also a nonprofit social services agency. So here in Jacksonville, we provide a transitional housing shelter, a food pantry, community meals for lunch and dinner, as well as holiday programs, to name a few of the things that we do.
Yeah, best known for usually like Toys for Tots, right?
Close. We do the Angel Tree program.
Oh, and okay.
So similar. So we have families, they sign up typically actually late summer, early fall time for holiday assistance. So we do Thanksgiving baskets. And then the Angel Tree program is where a family is sponsored by a donor for their children's wish list. And that's for children ages 0 to 12.
You guys do stuff year round, not just during the holidays. But one of the really big things you guys do is offer food assistance to really any and everybody. So tell me what was just gifted to y'all to help the food industry tenfold.
Absolutely. So about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we were gifted 3 aeroponic towers. And then in January of 2021, we got our 4th aeroponic tower donated to us. And what these are, we call them garden towers, because if you look at them, they are growing things you would find in your garden in a very unique environment where they can be grown inside. It's actually a soilless growing venue, and inside we grow a variety of lettuces and herbs. We also have lavender on one of our towers because it really improves the air quality. But if you have towers that can be outside as well, the opportunities are endless of what you could grow on these.
So if somebody gifted one of these to me, I would be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I don't know what to do with it. So what, now that y'all have 4, what are y'all doing with them? Other than growing
food. Well, I had that first thought when I saw mine too. It was like, oh my goodness, how do I get these up and running and keep them successful? So we went out to, we had a little field trip, myself and 2 staff, out to Atlantic Beach Urban Farms to see theirs, because I was told they had some, and they do. They're a fantastic local company. I would encourage anybody to check them out. But they really are the ones who helped us get the towers up and running. They come and they do the seedlings for us, and seedlings are what you get that'll eventually turn into the lettuce or the herbs, or we also grow microgreens as well. They're phenomenal to work with.
Is it hard to use? Because you said it's soilless, so I don't even know where to begin.
So because Atlantic Beach Urban Farms helps us with our seedlings, I cannot walk you through what that process is, but I can tell you that once you have your seedlings, they are very easy. They really take care of themselves. Ours on the inside of our building, they have lights, and the lights are on 16 hours out of the day, and they mimic natural sunlight. And then the water is in this all self-contained environment, and it runs for 15 minutes out of every 60 minutes of the day. So there's always plenty of hydration for the seedlings that are growing to make sure they blossom into beautiful produce.
Does all of this mean, like, speed up the process of what it would usually take to grow a head of lettuce?
I am not a gardener, so I'm not sure
That's
if it speeds
okay.
up the process, but I can say it takes about 3 weeks from the time a seedling is put into one of the towers to it being ready to harvest. It could take up to 4 weeks, at least for lettuces, herbs, and the microgreens that we grow. Things can be different depending what you're growing. Like if you're growing tomatoes or cucumbers, peppers, eggplants, which are all options if you have a tower that can go outside, those might take a little bit longer. It just depends on the plant that's in them. But inside, about every 3 weeks, we have a different harvest that comes off our towers, and we have our towers on a rotation. So 1 week it's herbs, the next week is one of the towers that has lettuce in it, the following week is another tower, which is what we found works best after having all the towers ready all at once, and we had so much lettuce we did not know what to do with it all.
And what's the benefit of giving this to the Salvation Army? Out of all people, why y'all?
So the donor was very invested in what we do and knows that we have residents here in our transitional housing shelter, so that anything we grow in these would absolutely be feeding the residents or helping to feed the residents of the Towers Center of Hope here in downtown Jacksonville. But as we grow more and more things, we have enough items, like the lettuces in particular, that could also go out through our food pantry to serve those in the community that we're giving food boxes to.
Okay, so instead of kind of having to seek out food, you guys are cutting out the middleman and y'all are growing it yourself.
Yes, we're trying. We do not make enough to, at this time, we do not produce enough, I should say, to self-sustain ourselves at 100%. So at some point in the future, I would love to be able to do that. I would love to have another 18 to 24 of these towers to truly be self-sustaining on the produce front. But in the meantime, this is an amazing supplement that we're able to do.
Have you found a certain response from other people? Do they love it?
Everybody, absolutely. Residents love it. The staff love it. And you can see the differences. I know we're on the radio, so you can't actually see the differences, but the lettuce you buy in the grocery store or that we buy through our vendors is what you see in the grocery store, and it's got that light green color, medium green color. The lettuces in particular, and kale and spinach, because we grow those as well at times. Right now we don't have that, but we did just a couple weeks ago, is such a vibrant dark green, and the flavor is so different from what you get in like a bag of salad mix, that everyone can tell the difference when this is on the salad bar, whether it's mixed in with some other salad mix we've got from a vendor or that it's entirely off our towers. It just depends on how much the harvest was. Everybody can tell when it's in there.
It's crazy that it's that big of a difference.
Yes, and I've tried it myself as well. I happen to love salad, and I will say the lettuce is, it is like growing it in your own garden, and you know there's a tremendous difference in the quality and the taste when you grow it yourself versus when you're buying it, where it may have been picked, you know, a day before, a week before, or whatnot. There's just such a difference when it is truly farm fresh.
Oh, 100%.
In this case, aeroponic fresh.
Yeah, 100%, and I don't grow food myself very often, but when I do, like, I really do taste that difference, and I only know what these aeroponic garden towers look like because I was sent a photo, but can you kind of describe what they look like?
Sure. So the four that we have a round base, and then they have a tower that comes out of them, and each of the towers can have a variety of numbers of levels, let's say, where you grow 4 to 5 plants on each level, depending on the size. So ours have between 5 and 7 levels. So at any time, we've got 24 up to 35 plants growing on each one. And then it has this contraption, let's call it, that goes over it. It fits right into it. That is its timer for the water as well as the lights, and then the lights that attach to it. They look like little floppy rabbit ears, actually, that run the whole length of the tower. And this is one style of aeroponic tower. There are others. If you do go online and you just plug in aeroponic garden tower, aeroponic tower, tower gardens, any of those search terms will bring up different versions of the aeroponic towers.
And was this just an impromptu gift, or have y'all been in need of something like this and not really recognizing it?
I think we were in need of something like this and not recognizing it. So when the donor who did the original three had approached the Salvation Army and said, hey, I want to give these to you, we took them, we were excited about them, and just ran with them. And then realizing what their potential was really came about for me during COVID, when it was a struggle at times to get fresh produce. Mm-hmm. And this is a way that we can produce our own. And as I mentioned earlier, if we can get to where we're 100% self-sustaining, it wouldn't matter if something like COVID hit us again, because we would always be able to at least have fresh produce mm-hmm. on site.
And how many people roughly are y'all able to feed just with these four? Like you said, the residents and some people that come in, but do you have a number?
I do not, but I could get you one.
Oh, that's okay. No worries. And Tammy, y'all do so much for the community, and there are so many needs that are unspoken that need to be filled. So what can your community do for you as of right now?
Well, if anybody else has any of these towers they would like to donate, I would be happy to take them off their hands, or even if they're not functioning at 100%, because we can always check them out and see what's needed to fix it, get it up and running for us. Or financial donations are always welcome, and you can donate through our website, which is salvationarmynefl.org. That's salvationarmynefl.org. And you can also call us, not necessarily to donate over the phone, because we do not take over the phone donations, but if you have inquiries about volunteer opportunities, you can check out the website or call us at 904-356-8000. 9046-8641. Again, that's 904-356-8641.
Okay, Tammy, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood and for just continuously serving us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Colby. I am always happy to talk about the amazing things that we've got going down here at the Salvation Army.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, this is North Florida Neighborhood, and I'm Colby. North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today we get to chat with one of my favorite neighbors that always does such fun and great things, Melissa Lampignano, the owner for Jacksonville Business Connections. Melissa, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Colby.
So we want to hit on two really cool events y'all are doing, but first, can you kind of give me a background on what Jacksonville Business Connections is all about?
Sure. So our main mission is to connect community and business. So that could be through community events, which we have about 10 to 15 a year all over North Florida, and also helping businesses with marketing.
And how do you connect the community with these businesses? What does that look like?
So a lot of the businesses, they'll use the events as a marketing tool. So they'll come and they'll set up the tents, and it can be food vendors, it could be craft vendors, it could just be normal businesses that are in the area that want to show the community that they support the community. So they'll be out there meeting the community and different things like that.
For us, I mean, as consumers, we need to have some kind of draw to these businesses. And Melissa, you do such a great job with creating that draw. Like, oh, we're going to celebrate with a bounce house and we're going to have all these different foods for you to try. So tell me what's going on March 27th at the World Golf Village.
Yes, we're super excited about this. It's going to be a day of events. So at the Hall of Fame in the World Golf Village, we're going to kick off at 9 a.m. We're going to have our Hop into Spring event. Like I said, that's 9 to 12. And what that'll look like is the Easter Bunny will be out there to take pictures. We'll have some music, probably some food vendors, craft vendors, business vendors. And we will have an egg hunt that is a $5 fee, but the event in general is free. And for the egg hunt, you're welcome to sign up ahead of time online to reserve your spot and ticket. And we will have some availability that day for walk-ups, too.
So before we talk, because you mentioned this is a full day of events, so before we go past 12 o'clock on the day for the events, I want to hit on the Hop into Spring. So what kind of vendors can we expect? What kind of atmosphere?
I think very uplifting. We bring in a DJ. He'll play some appropriate fun, spring and kid type music, since it'll be very family oriented event. And for vendors, food, crafts, just local businesses wanting to connect with the community, everything you can think of. Right about now, I think we have about 30 to 40 vendors registered for the Hop into Spring.
And you said it's totally free. Right? We go, we show up, and then we can buy from there?
Yes, absolutely.
How are y'all going to plan out the Easter egg hunt? And obviously, I'm all about, like, the more eggs, the better. So are you able to give us a number of how many eggs y'all are hiding?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought it up, because we are partnering with our local church in St. Augustine and World Golf Village, Reverb Church, and they have gone out and purchased 5,000 to 6,000 eggs.
No
so
way.
There should definitely not be any lack of eggs that will be there. And for those who do not want to maybe participate specifically in the egg hunt, we'll hide some eggs throughout the event area. So if kids bring their Easter baskets and find one by vendors or in the grassy areas, they're welcome to just pick them up and take those.
But then to reiterate, in order to get your name for the egg hunt, it's $5 and you need to pre-register?
We prefer pre-registering just so we have a good count. We will accept walk-ups that day as long as we have enough, which I don't think we will run out.
Oh, yeah, definitely does not sound like it with 5,000 to 6,000 eggs. Well, the Hop Into Spring Festival, that's from 9 to 12 on the 27th. But then what are you doing to fill the rest of the day?
So right after that, we're rolling straight into our Taste of Jacksonville. It's our second year doing this event in the World Golf. The reason we like this location is it's free parking. The event is free. You come and there'll be probably about 30 to 40 food and sweet vendors, and then probably about another 30 local crafters and businesses there also. So it's a great event to come out and just walk around. It's a perfect location. It has a beautiful pond. You can get out and get some fresh air and visit the vendors.
Well, Melissa, what I'm wondering for this one is, why did you call it the Taste of Jacksonville?
So we get that question a lot. And the reason is the Taste of St. Augustine was taken.
And I like your honesty.
Yes. And for the Taste of Jacksonville, honestly, when I was looking at venues in Jacksonville, either the venue fee was extremely high or we would have had to charge to attend the event and for parking to pay for the different venue type of fees that they were requiring. So I figured, you know what, take a little slack, but putting it in the World Golf Village is not, we're right on the border of Jacksonville, to be honest, the Duval border, the World Golf. And to offer the event free and free parking, I figured I'll take a little bit of the hassle that people are like, why is it Taste of Jacksonville in World Golf?
You said that we're going to have about 30 to 40 food vendors. So what's the range of food that we can expect?
Oh, it's everything from Mexican food trucks to Ethiopian, Chinese, everything you could pretty much think about. We did have about this many last year. We were hoping to grow it, but because of COVID, we're seeing about the same numbers in terms of food trucks and food vendors from our first event. But in the future, we are hoping to continue to grow the event to the point where you have a lot more options and choices.
Yeah, as if 30 to 40 isn't enough. And I can't talk about food enough. And I just have to ask for the people in the back, because I'm sure they are wondering this. Will you guys also have like dessert trucks and things like that, or is it mostly like main meals?
Nope, we'll definitely have different type of dessert trucks, vendors, and even drinks. I've had some vendors sign up that are pineapple type drinks. This one vendor, he literally carves out a pineapple and pours the pineapple juice in there, and it's amazing. So we'll have fun stuff like that. The DJ will carry on into this event, and it'll be you know, fun music, uplifting for the Taste of Jacks. And like I said, it's just a great opportunity to get out, get fresh air, walk around, and enjoy the atmosphere. And that the Taste of Jacks is from 1 to 6.
And Melissa, what other events are y'all doing that day? Because you said the whole day.
Right. So another rescheduled event from last year was our Endometriosis 5K. So if there's any runners or walkers that, you know, a lot of the 5Ks have been canceled, we are hosting ours, Endometriosis 5K, from 4 to 6 at the World Golf Village. It'll be during the Taste of Jack, so you can come run and then eat and visit, or vice versa. So if anybody, you know, is interested in joining that, you can just go to our website or Facebook page.
And what is the Endo 5K all about?
So that is started by my dear friend and neighbor, and I got involved to help market it and get it out there. And she had endometriosis and suffered from it, and it's something to do with your reproductive area. And many women are affected by it, and she wanted to start a 5K to support and raise money and awareness for this cause. And I think it's been amazing. We've been able to grow it over the years. And it's just something to bring awareness to endometriosis.
And it'll be so sweet that the runners are going to get rewarded just in knowing like all the good they're doing. But then after literally get rewarded with the taste of Jack's and the food and the DJ and all the really sweet vendors. So, Melissa, tell me one more time what time and when these events are happening and then how we can get more information.
Absolutely. So we'll start with the Hop into Spring. That is March 27th from 9 to noon. Then right after that, we jump right into the Taste of Jacksonville. That is from 1 to 6. And during that is the Endometriosis 5K from 4 to 6. And if you want to find out any information about any of this, you can go to our website at jacksonvillebusinessconnections.com. Or you can find us on Facebook under the same Jacksonville Business Connections. And all of our events are on Facebook and our website. And any information on wanting to become a sponsor or a vendor or participate in the 5K is all there.
And these events are happening at the World Golf Village on the 27th. Melissa, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me share with the neighborhood about these events.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbors we're chatting with are Karen and Cindy. They're with the American Lung Association. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Hi, Colby. Thanks so much for having us.
So first, Karen, this is going to be for you, but can you give us a little rundown on who the American Lung Association is?
Sure. So the American Lung Association is the oldest voluntary health organization in the country. We were formed in 1904, originally to tackle tuberculosis, and our mission has evolved over the years, whereas now we incorporate so many various lung conditions. So everything that we do is based on our three tiers of research, education, and advocacy in the world of lung health and lung disease.
All right, so 1904, you guys have been around for over 100 years, so I can't even imagine the growth and kind of changing things up since then.
Certainly our focus has changed and evolved over the years from that start with tuberculosis, where if you think that approximately a year ago, none of us were even saying COVID-19 yet, and then COVID-19 came on the scene. It's a respiratory virus, so most individuals that are impacted, it affects them in their lungs. So it has become a big part of what we're talking about. And so we're that leader for lung health, that champion for lung health in our nation. And so as science changes and as conditions arise, like what we're experiencing with COVID-19, we're the leader and the champion that's there and ready to take on that condition that has arisen.
So you guys take it on, but what does that actually look like with actions in place?
One thing that we're most proud of is April of 2020, so really quickly after the shutdown that occurred across the country, we launched our COVID-19 Action Initiative, and it's a three-year, $25 million commitment that includes the research, education, advocacy, as well as coalition building. And so we have partners in the nonprofit sector and from the for-profit sector. We have educators that are part of it, scientists that are part of it, but it's really to help us understand what has happened so that we can prevent future respiratory outbreaks.
And this is a three-year commitment.
It is. It's a three-year, $25 million commitment.
What's all intact with that? Like, that's heavy. That's a lot.
It is a lot. So I'll share with you some of the things that we've already done kind of under that umbrella. So we've already funded 12 COVID-19 research projects totaling about $2.4 million. So that means we already have 12 researchers across the country who applied and who we accepted and granted award dollars to that are researching various elements of COVID-19. So it's looking at how it's being treated in some communities versus others. It's looking at what what's the actual vaccine look like. It's looking at all elements of COVID-19. We've hosted town halls that more than 10,000 people have attended. Of course, those have been virtual, with various resources and education as the science continued to evolve and as we all learned more, thinking back to March a year ago versus March today. During this time, we also launched a podcast called Lungcast, and really we wanted to be sure that we were educating the public, which is one of our commitments to do for our mission. We've most recently launched the vaccine tracker, and Colby, I'll try to send you that link, but the vaccine tracker is available on our website, and again, it's a great opportunity for people to educate themselves about the COVID-19 vaccine, because we want people to be informed about the decisions they make. We launched a buy two, give two mask campaign, so individuals were able to purchase masks through the Lung Association, and for every two that were purchased, we donated two. So we're really proud of the fact that over 30,000 masks went out into communities that are underserved and under-resourced, so to individuals who perhaps would not have had access easily to that that safety equipment had it not been for the Lung Association. So that just highlights, you know, some of the things that we've done immediately. And again, because it is a three-year commitment, that research will continue, the education components will continue, so that we'll continue to meet people where they are in the somewhat virtual world in which we're living.
And it's just so mind-blowing to think y'all have been around since 1904, and there's been so much growth in over 100 years. But just what you talked about has happened in the past year. But one thing that American Lung Association stands very firm on, and it sounds like this has been consistently a part of y'all's organization since the beginning, but to create a tobacco-free future.
Sure. So when we think about the critical components of the Lung Association mission, that creating a tobacco-free future is one of them, and has certainly been a big part of what we've done for decades. And so that comes in many parts. It comes in providing quit services. So we know that many adults who smoke don't want to be smokers. And so we ensure that we have quit services. And in fact, they're available online right now at no cost. We know that holding meetings in person is not the best choice in most communities right now. And so we are offering our quit services online at no cost. And that is called Freedom from Smoking. So that's something we continue to do. And again, when we think about how much our work has changed, 10 years ago, we weren't talking about vaping. And today we talk about vaping regularly. We have a resource called The Vape Talk, which really provides parents with tools to understand what is happening among youth, to look for signs of if their child is vaping, and really gives tools that are functional to help adults sit down with the youth and their family to have conversations about vaping and what it means and what it is and what the health risks are. So those are really great resources, not only for parents, but the resources as well for individuals in schools, so that school administrators can provide some resources. So it's evolved from talking just about cigarettes at one time to really we're talking about cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, really any way in which tobacco enters the lungs, but certainly will continue to be part of what we want to educate people on and part of the change that we want to make so that the next generation could potentially be tobacco-free and smoke-free.
Have you, Karen, or even you, Cindy, have y'all noticed an increase in people wanting to get healthier when it comes to their lungs, especially because of this respiratory issue that COVID-19 is causing?
I'm trying to think. I will say this, Colby. We have seen more than 2,000 unique phone calls into our lung helpline specific to COVID in the last year. And so we know that as this respiratory illness has taken center stage in our lives in so many ways, people are talking about lung health. It's more on their radar, I would say, than ever before. We really quickly, within the first couple of months of 2020, started seeing questions, you know, is there a connection between a likelihood to have serious health consequences from COVID-19 if you're a smoker, if you already vape, if you currently have lung disease? So I would say when we have found that we're all talking about respiratory health more frequently, it has brought people to us that perhaps we haven't worked with before and that are interested in learning more and having more resources accessible to them.
So speaking of resources, you guys have one of y'all's most famous events coming up, and I want to hit on that.
It's our Fight for Air Climb.
Okay, so give me a rundown on what that is, because it's coming up in a week.
Yes, so our Fight for Air Climb is one of our signature events here in Jacksonville. So typically we hold our Fight for Air Climb in the stairwells of the Bank of America Tower, but we've reimagined our climb and we're taking it outdoors this year, mainly just for the safety of our participants, volunteers, and our staff. So we're really excited to say that we're going to be climbing the stairs of TIAA Bank Field on Saturday, March 27th.
So it used to be in the bank building, and now it's in a football stadium. And to me, that sounds even harder than before. So what's the level of difficulty for y'all's climb?
You know, really, anybody can participate. So I will say that it's going to look a little different, obviously. So we've incorporated some of the ramps in the stadium and then some of the stairs in the lower bowl. I'm confident in saying that participants of all ages and abilities will be able to complete this. And they'll really enjoy it. They'll love the change of scenery, getting outdoors, breathing the fresh air. We really think it's an exciting change.
So how does it work? Do you just put on your sneakers and run up these stairs?
So we will have wave times put in place. So everybody that's registered will get a start time. So they will line up a few minutes prior to that start time. And one person at a time will launch up the ramps. So we'll start up the ramps, and then they will head into the lower bowl where they'll weave up and down some stairs. And then they will exit down some other ramps on through the stadium, and that's the climb. So like I said, it's a little bit different, but you just put on your sneakers and go.
And how many stairs?
So we don't have an exact count this year, but we're saying that it is going to be approximately 600 stairs.
Wow.
Both up and down, and roughly 1500 steps total. So that's including the ramps and a little bit of a concourse walk that you'll take.
And I remember whether we chatted last year or the year before, but you mentioned that there's firefighters that come and they are decked out in all of their gear doing this climb. Is that going to be the case this year also? People just wearing extra heavy clothes to make it extra hard?
Absolutely. We do have a lot of our local fire stations have teams, and they will be joining us, and they will be decked out in all of their gear. So it's really inspiring to see. They'll climb last, but you'll see them getting set up and getting geared up as the other participants are climbing. And we actually, in addition to just firefighters, we have other first responder teams who are also going to be joining us.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in. In addition to what Cindy said when she said some other first responders, we're really excited that we have a team from Customs Border Protection. We also are partnering again this year with Go Ruck. So for those civilians that want to add the extra challenge, just as our firefighters add that additional 40 to 60 pounds of gear, we do have some Ruck participants. So our local Go Ruck clubs, we have some folks participating there. They'll wear their rucksacks with an additional at least 10 to 20 pounds. So again, a lot of ways to make it challenging. You can come walk it, you can run it, you can ruck it. We just want folks to really get involved and to take the advantage of this great opportunity to be in the stadium supporting lung health in a really unique way.
And again, I have the privilege of chatting with Karen and Cindy. They're with the American Lung Association, and you guys are doing the Fight to Climb, literally. And I think it's interesting because so many organizations use fundraisers like marathons or fun little runs for the whole family, but you guys go hard for the climb. So out of all ways y'all could have raised money, why have y'all chosen it to be like this?
I think one of the important things is that, you know, when we first launched the climb in our organization about 15 or 16 years ago, and it was named the Fight for Air Climb, it's really aptly named. When you reach the top of the stairs, or in this case this year, as you weave through the stadium, it's hard to breathe. And that's true for someone who doesn't have a lung disease. And so it really brings to top of mind that there are individuals who may feel this challenge every day when they exercise, or every day just by breathing. And so you are fighting for air. And because it has such a part of our history and is so important to so many people, our first goal this year, when knowing that we needed to make a change so that we could keep people outside and socially distanced, our first goal was not what can we do differently, but was really how do we reimagine the climb? How do we keep this great event, but do it in a way that's appropriate for the times, but that we can still gather our participants and have that camaraderie as well.
Have you noticed a certain response after changing it?
I'll say that we have definitely seen some additional excitement for the change of venue. I think that we're definitely getting to a different part of our population who might not have joined us in the building, but you know, the added component of being in the stadium is really, really intriguing for them. So I definitely think it's adding an extra excitement component. And you know, we're excited to bring it to a different venue and reimagine it. And we're just honestly really grateful that we're going to be able to hold an in-person event. Mm-hmm. It's going to look different than all other years, but we're really proud of our climb for the uniqueness of it just every single year. You know, we're really set apart in what we do with our climb, and now even more so that we're holding it at the stadium.
Mm. And one of the benefits that comes with that change to the stadium, Colby, as Cindy mentioned earlier, you know, saying that people various ages, various physical abilities, various fitness levels are all welcome and can take this on. We are able this year to lower our age. So we've had to turn down kiddos in the past, but we're excited that our age range starts at age 6 this year. So it really does create the opportunity for it to be a family-friendly event. Children still have to register because, again, we are monitoring the number of people and have safety protocols in place that have to be verified for all individuals. But parents that want to bring their kiddos, or kiddos that hear this and want to bring their parents, age 6 and up, we are welcoming this year. So that's a change as well that we're excited to bring to increase that family-friendly environment.
And I love, Cindy, you said that y'all are just overall really proud of your climb. So what's something that you're really hoping people are going to take away after they finish this?
One of the biggest things I hope that people take away is just how impactful our work at the American Lung Association is, and how they can also make an impact by being involved with us and our events and our work here in North Florida. You know, I hope that people who haven't really been familiar with our work before, who are joining us at the stadium for the first time, realize that we do have we do a lot of work here, and we do have other signature fundraising events that we host throughout the year. So we hope that, you know, if we're bringing new participants on board, we hope that they continue to support us and join us at other events and join us at our climb next year too. And hopefully they just continue to be involved with us and our mission.
And do you guys have a specific fundraising goal, and y'all will be able to walk away and say, man, we blew it out of the water? Or are y'all just really looking forward to whatever comes in?
We're excited that we're tracking to exceed our goal of $85,000, and we've currently exceeded 70%.
Can people still register? Like, yeah, we're a week out, but is it still an option?
Yes, people can still register online at climbjax.org. Our registration will cut off the Friday before, so there will be no day of registration, but people can register up until 2 p.m. on Friday, March 26th.
And we just kind of hit on the fact that y'all's goal is $85,000. And I mean, I think to anybody, that sounds like a chunk of money. And when people give to something, they want to know what that money is going towards. So what are you guys planning on doing with this fundraising money?
So all of our monies that are raised locally at the climb, as well as our other events, do support all of our local and our national outreach. So I will give some local examples. We currently provide asthma education in some of the schools in our school system. We're proud that we have over 16 Better Breathers Clubs in our community. The Better Breathers Clubs are support groups for adults living with lung disease, and they're facilitated with the help of American Lung Association staff by respiratory therapists and nurses. And so that's really a great support system for adults in our community. We're also proud that we fund the Airways Clinical Research Center. It's a network of research facilities located across the country that we fund, and they do really critical research in respiratory disease and conditions. And we have one located in Nemours, locally here in Jacksonville. So there's a research scientist and her team there that are consistently and have been for decades looking at clinical trials and to discover what they can and about lung health. She and her team have run several clinical trials over the last couple of decades and continue to do so, both in pediatric lung conditions as well as adult lung conditions currently through a consortium with UF Health.
And this is y'all's big event of the year, but are there other events or other things that y'all have planned that we can look forward to throughout the year?
Yep, absolutely. So we do have another event coming up in the spring. It is our Lip Sync for Lungs. And we do also have our annual Lung Force Run Walk that is coming up in August.
And what's the best way to stay in contact and be able to either participate or just know what's coming up?
For information about our Fight for Air Climb that's coming up, I would definitely encourage people to go to our website, climbjax.org. And on that website, right at the top of the screen, is my contact information. So you'll find my name, Cindy, my email, and my phone number. So if anybody is interested in learning more about our upcoming events, just send me an email or give me a phone call, and I'd be happy to fill you in.
Okay, sweet. And then, Karen, one thing I wanted to hit on before we kind of wrap up is that at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that y'all are doing a Lung Force podcast. So I wanted to know, how can people listen to that and what helpful information is broadcasted on that?
Yeah, so we launched our podcast, which is called Lungcast, and it's a pulmonary podcast series. And so it features Dr. Rizzo, who is our chief medical officer, and he talks about different elements of lung health in the various episodes. So we have had episodes, I'll give you just a couple of titles of what we've had to date. We've currently aired 7 episodes. During February, during Black History Month, we did talk about the discriminant effects of COVID-19, so acknowledging that there are ongoing health disparities in Black, Brown, and other communities of color that have been impacted by COVID-19. One of our episodes, we talked about asthma management, so a really great opportunity for individuals living with asthma or with a family member with asthma and how to manage it and to understand when intervention may be needed. We had a topic on COPD. We had Dr. Anthony Fauci join for one of our episodes to really talk about COVID-19 news at the time, talk about virus transmission. So it varies, and obviously it's all under the umbrella of lung health, but the topics are intentionally varied since there are so many lung conditions, so that we meet as many of our different populations as we can with the information that we're providing.
But it sounds like overall such a great resource to learn more and just kind of be able to go in depth. And Karen, one more time, tell me a good resource to either sign up for the Fight for Air Climb or to just get some more overall information from the American Lung Association.
Sure, Colby. For information about the Lung Association in general, I'd encourage you to visit lung.org. And from there, you can really filter down by your zip code to get information for our area, or you can look at resources for many of the conditions that we've talked about today, including a link to our podcast, the Lungcast, which you can subscribe to on Apple or Spotify, but there's a link for you there. And then you can visit our website for the upcoming Fight for Air Climb at climbjacks.org. And again, as Cindy mentioned, it's coming up next Saturday, March 27th. You can register through 2 p.m. on the 26th at climbjacks.org, and we would love to have you there.
Great. Thank you guys so much for being such sweet neighbors in our neighborhood.
Thank you so much for having us. Thanks for having us, Colby. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.